The following is an encore presentation of Exploring Missions.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
On Exploring Missions, we get to do quite a few interviews, and you try to learn as the host to be careful at saying, "Oh, this is a favorite," or whatever, because it makes those who were interviewed that's not on that list feel less than. But I'm just going to go ahead and say this straight up. This is one of my favorite interviews I've ever had in my life. And you'll hear more about it in just a moment. Then you'll get to hear the interview. But Nathan, God's creation is amazing. And what God values, sometimes we tend to not do that. But it's amazing who God uses and how He uses them. But let me say, it's not just humans that God uses. He's used a donkey. He's used a rooster. God's amazing who and what He uses, isn't it?
He can use anyone at any time from any background and situation they might have found themselves in to begin with, whatever the past and background might be. God can take someone and He can turn it into good. That's what redemption is taking the bad, turning it into good. And He could take the bad that we've made of our lives, the mess that we've made of our lives with sin. We don't have control over some of our circumstances, things that we're born into. We don't have control over that. He can even take those things, generational sin, and He can turn it into His glory and our good. And He can rescue us and put us on mission. And that mission then means other people being rescued. So it's a beautiful picture.
It is. And I think I would do good by letting you know what the interview will be so you'll see why we're talking about what we're talking about. At the National Religious Broadcasters meeting a few weeks ago, I was going through the different booths, and I came to one that got my attention. It said, "Canines for Christ." And there were some women, but there I saw three dogs. And those dogs got my attention. I love dogs. Raising three boys, we had dogs. And that was a part of their childhood. And we loved them, and they loved their dogs. And each one of them had kind of their favorites. And sometimes they would bring some home. And we dealt with it. But dogs were a part of that. And when I saw those dogs, it got my attention. And I started talking. And I asked him, "Can I interview you?" So I'm setting that up, so you'll hear the interview later. But I could not help but think how dogs were pictured and treated in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. They were not looked on fondly, were they, Nathan?
No, and if you've been to, let's say, other countries outside of the U.S., maybe in, I don't think it's the best term, but you can use the word third world, but majority world or developing countries, where I think here in the U.S. we even take it to the opposite extreme, and sometimes it's not healthy either, of how we elevate our canine
for
friends.
For pets to have their own store.
Yeah, and needing insurance and having an air-conditioned doghouse or whatever. Sometimes it might get a little bit out of hand on this side. And so imagine the opposite end of that spectrum in other countries that you may have visited, and you see dogs everywhere. And one thing I notice about, like, when I've been to Nicaragua, there's dogs everywhere in the street just roaming around, and they all look the same. They look it's the exact same dog multiplied a gazillion times. Yeah. And there's not really a sense of a breed or whatever. So it's kind of strange. You go to Turkey, and it's cats. And people don't like – really, you go to the Muslim world, and you don't see dogs around, but you see cats around. And in Turkey, man, there are cats everywhere, and people will treat them kindly, and they don't bring them into their house because they're wild and feral cats, but they'll still feed them And a cat will come to your table if you're eating outdoors at a little cafe and beg for food like a dog would. So it's funny how that works. But yes, dogs were seen as dirty and something to be just looked over or kicked over. And even to this day in the Middle East, people call someone an enemy. They will call them a dog. That's one of the lowest insults you can call someone is calling someone a dog.
Chuck Swindoll, one of my great heroes of preaching and writing, he'd say he wanted his home to be remembered as a place of laughter, fun laughter. So with that in mind, would you tell us the difference in cat theology and dog theology?
Okay, yeah, and honestly, it's funny, but it's a good lesson. I think there's some profound truth to it. So there's the story about the owner who has a dog, and he loves the dog. He cares for the dog. He feeds the dog. And the dog thinks about the owner, wow, he must be God. But then you have the owner of a cat, and the owner of the cat loves the cat and cares for the cat and feeds the cat. And the cat thinks, when it thinks about the owner, the cat thinks, I must be God, right? So two different perspectives, and those that know cats and dogs know it kind of fits a little bit.
It fits. I remember the first time I ever heard that. You shared it, and it came to mind. But dogs were looked on in the Old Testament and New Testament as dirty, unclean. They've kind of outcast, okay? But in our society, and again, you can't overdo it, they have been redeemed in a sense. We have dog pounds, and they advertise. They'll get on the local television. They'll use the local paper. They'll use the media some way to say, here's this cat or here's this dog that needs a home. And people respond. People say, where'd you get that dog? I got it at the dog pound. I went down there, and that's what they've done. So it's kind of a redemption. And the interview that we're going to do today has to do with that dog that was redeemed. You'll hear the story in the interview, but these became therapy dogs. And it is amazing, horses and dogs, at what they can do for people who are troubled. You take a dog that has been cared for and loved, that dog can bring a smile to the child that's been going through cancer treatment, all kinds of difficulties. The story of horses, they've rescued horses and they have a rescue ranch, and they bring children or even young adults out who have had issues physically and mentally. There's a bonding that takes place. I find that just, I just love those stories, Nathan.
Yeah. I mean, it makes you think back to creation of how God created this world and created animals. He created humans in his own image, but the animals were for the benefit of humans. And we've lost some of that with sin and with the fall, but it's amazing how God can even redeem some of that back to some of his original intention. And
so, you know, these things can be used for missions.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. And the interview that we do is someone who had the creativity to see this ministry to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And again, I just want to put out there, this is one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. I hope you'll listen to it. And I just want to put, I think it's worth sharing with others, because I got a feeling there's some people out there that love dogs and loves the Lord, and this ministry brings them together to be a part of the mission work of God. So I hope you'll enjoy this interview. I think you'll be blessed by it, encouraged by it, and I hope you'll tell others to listen to this and see what God might want to do in their lives and use the gifts that they have. We praise God for his redemption in not only creation, but in salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think today on Exploring Missions, we may have the most unusual interview that we've had since we started this program. We're going to interview Molly. Now, you say, who is Molly? Well, she's a four-legged guest here on Exploring Missions, and she has a tail that wags, ears that perk up. Yes, it is a dog. And you say, how are you going to interview a dog? You remember there was a horse that could talk.
Mr. Ed. Now, some of you may not remember that story, but it was a show that came out years and years ago. But yes, we're interviewing Jill Powell, who is part of the ministry of Canines for Christ. And I met her on the floor of the National Religious Broadcasters Forum as we were going by their booth. Being a dog lover, it got my attention immediately, and I started a conversation, and I said, would you please let me interview you? And Jill, thank you for letting me interview you.
You're welcome, Bert. I'm so glad to be here.
And I'm glad you brought Molly.
I think she's pretty excited about being here, too. It's a great view. So she's checking out all the birds right now.
Yeah, she is. Beautiful, beautiful dog. And I just so appreciative of you coming. Tell us about Canines for Christ. Just start your story about Canines for Christ.
Okay, I would love to do that. Well, Canines for Christ is a therapy dog ministry. It was founded in 2007 by a gentleman named Chaplain Larry Randolph, and he is in the Tampa, Florida area, and he is still located there, even though this ministry is a national ministry. We are throughout the country, 37 states and six foreign countries as well. So I guess not only national, but an international ministry.
37 states?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes. So God has really blessed us, and we're trying to get into all of the states eventually, but God is opening those doors in just his timing when he wants us to be there. But the ministry is beautiful in the sense that Chaplain Larry Randolph, when God called him to this ministry, he did not even have a dog at the time. So he was like, God, like, what are you up to? I don't even have a dog. They had just recently lost their dog and didn't have a dog at the time. And so borrowed a dog to get the ministry started. So talk about someone stepping out in faith and being obedient. That's our founder, Chaplain Larry Randolph.
Okay. The next story I want to hear is your story. How did you become a part of it?
Okay. So I'm a dog lover, obviously. And at the time, my husband and I, we had several dogs. And I was really into dog sports, you know, getting those ribbons and competing. But really, God was placing on my heart that I needed to do something that glorified him. And how could I use my love for dogs and love for him to reach people? And so my husband and I fervently prayed for like 2 weeks, show us what you want us to do with this, you know, this calling that he had placed on our lives. And we actually heard Canines for Christ on a podcast. Wow. And so got me hooked, called the next day. At the time, I had another dog that I did therapy work with, called the next day, said, hey, I'm going to get my dog certified and we're signing up tomorrow. So that was about 3 years ago.
3 years ago. And you're out of San Antonio, Texas.
Out of San Antonio.
Beautiful city.
Yes. But the Molly story.
Yeah,
so
I want to hear. Now, Molly is the dog. We're here in Grapevine, Texas. We're at the hotel here. And again, she said, do I need to bring Molly with you? And I said, no, Molly can bring you with her.
Exactly.
Because we wanted Molly here, and I do want to hear her story.
Yes, because, you know, nobody really knows me. They know Molly. I'm the person at the end of the leash. So, but for Molly, so our original dog, we've retired from therapy dog work. Didn't really know what we were going to do and how we were going to continue in this without a dog. And I was out and about with my friend, just out for the day. We decided that we are going to stop at a feed store, Strutty's, because we needed to pick up some things from there. And here's this little dog, about 10 months old, out in full sun in a crate, looking very, very sad. And so we went inside and we're like, hey, what's the deal with the dog out in the hot sun in the crate? They said, oh, she was running down the highway that they're, you know, against, and very busy highway, actually. And we were like, so what are you going to do with the dog? And they were like, well, nobody, the dog's not microchipped. The dog doesn't have a collar. If nobody takes it, we're calling a shelter. And it was a kill shelter as well. So I took a picture of Molly, texted my husband, and and at the time we had three other dogs, and he actually said, bring her home. And then I had to call him and say, did I text the right person? Because my husband doesn't normally just say, bring home a fourth dog.
Right.
So I was the one that said, no, 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 we can't take this dog. We can't take this dog. Got back in the car with my friend, drove around for about 20 minutes. And my friend's like, you need to go get that dog. So we went back. And if we had been 5 minutes later, someone was going to decided they would foster the dog and give the dog, you know, a right. home until they were able to find a forever home. And we said, no, 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 I want the dog. And she really has been an amazing therapy dog. Trained her very quickly in about 4 months to do the work that she does, and just does a phenomenal job. So we really call her our God's dog, because we didn't know we were looking for another dog,
yes.
but God had other plans.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about therapy dogs and what they do.
All right. So therapy dogs, they provide love and support and comfort for those that are maybe under a lot of stress or grieving, or even in schools where children that are low readers need to gain confidence in their reading skills. Children will read to the dogs to gain that confidence. So really, therapy dogs come in just to step into that gap or that space to provide people encouragement and love and care that, you know, only dogs can do, because their love is unconditional and they see way beyond what we see through our eyes.
I didn't know if I was going to tell it or not, because Devin's a cat lover, our producer, but you take a dog and care for it, feed it, you know, pet it, give it shelter, that dog thinks you're God.
Mm-hmm.
You take a cat and you take it and feed it, pet it, and, you know, give it shelter, that cat thinks it's God.
Yeah, exactly.
And Devin's laughing at it, and I don't know what he is. He's our producer sitting by us. But, okay, how does the gospel work with Canines for Christ?
So I think that's the beauty of our ministry. Is there's a lot of great therapy dog organizations out there, but we want to be ministry first. So we want to offer the ministry of presence, and by our presence alongside of our dogs and our dogs breaking down those barriers, then through those conversations and through those relationships, we are presented the opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And so with people who are grieving, they're hurting, mm-hmm. a lot of times the communication with humans is very slack, but a dog comes in, a therapy dog, and they give the love and the dog returns. Does it open up doors for the human to be able to speak to them then?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen that time and time again. We have stories from all over the country where they, without that dog being present, there would not have been the opportunity to share, you know, not only the recipient being able to share and open up as they pet the dog, and that hurting and that grief and that stress kind of melts away.
Yes.
You know, we know
that.
About
yeah.
That with our dogs. Then them being able to open up and share their stories. And then in turn, can we pray for you? How can we share the gospel with you? It's just, it's supernatural, you know,
okay.
only God can create
well,
that.
Well, see, you're combining two of God's greatest acts, creation, redemption.
Amen.
So you're using the dog, one of God's creation,
mm-hmm.
to bring the redemption that only Christ can give. It's a pretty good combination.
Amen.
Jill.
Yeah.
I mean, that just blesses me to hear mm-hmm. that. And let me ask this. When you are involved in this, the dog stays at your home. Do they call in, or is it a website? How do they contact you in order for Molly to give the therapy?
Well, probably all of the above.
Okay.
So we have people contacting the ministry throughout the country, and we'll deploy teams, send teams out to those requests if we have teams in that area. in San Antonio, a lot of our teams go and seek out opportunities. They feel that God's called a certain population or a certain facility on their hearts. And so they will go and approach that facility and say, hey, I would like to offer this ministry to you. And usually when you show up and you've got your dog, you're not turned away very often. So,
well, I would say this is I was making my rounds on the floor of the MRB where all the booths are. Mm-hmm. You guys got more attention than most folks.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever seen it at an NRB meeting was the time that there's people here that bought a golden eagle.
That's pretty impressive.
On someone's arm.
Yeah.
And that got some attention as well. But those three dogs that you guys have brought here has rendered a lot of attention to the Canines for Christ.
Yes. Yep. All the materials behind us, but the real show happens in front of our booth with the dogs. So
it makes me want to need something for therapy.
Now, you go. Well, just come on by.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Then I wanted to follow up with the other people that are in San Antonio, your specific thing, mm-hmm. are most of them like you, just dog lovers, loves the Lord, and they want to combine those two things to minister to people?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we've got about approximately 60 teams in San Antonio. We're one of the larger chapters around the country. So most of our volunteers are based in Florida and Texas. But again, we do have volunteers all over the country.
Okay, you're in 37 states. If somebody wanted to know if they had a group in their state that they could join, is there a website or something that they could find out more information?
Yes. So on our website, it's Canines. You need to spell out the word Canines.
Canines?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. I knew it wasn't feline. It was Canines.
No, that's
don't
right.
make it. Okay.
And then the actual number four, and Christ.org. And on where we serve, if you go under that tab, there is a map, mm-hmm. and it shows you where all of our volunteers are located by state. If you want to know specifically if we're in your hometown, then just send us a contact request, and we'll look that information up for you.
So if they're not in your state and somebody listening to this wanted to start one in their state, would they go to the same website and just follow through with information?
Yes, leave a contact request, and I will probably be the one talking with them. I'm the director of membership for Canines for Christ, so I love talking about the ministry and how you can get involved. And we even have a new junior handler program that we're super excited about as well.
What's that like now? Tell us.
So the junior handler program, we've always encouraged families to serve together, but our junior handler program specifically for 5th through 12th grade students, they serve alongside their parents. But what's really cool about this is they get their own shirt, they get their own business cards with their dogs on it, and they're able to earn certificates for memory, scripture memorization, visits with their dogs, community service. Our program director also has a monthly newsletter that goes out. She teaches virtually dog tricks so that the youth can learn to engage with people. And so we just really are excited about that program, because not only is it raising up the next generation of therapy dog handlers, it's raising the next generation of believers.
You know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping that someone's listening that's in one of the states that you're not in, and they are dog lovers. They love the Lord Jesus, and they want to combine this creation redemption ministry that God has raised up and say, we need that, because I've wondered how God could use my love for my dog in such a way. That's a neat story, Jill.
Yeah, it's been a huge blessing in my life and in my family's life, and we're just really proud to be ambassadors for Christ.
And it started when you asked, Lord, how can I combine my love for dogs? Were you showing your dogs in competition or out?
Yes.
Yes, that's what you were doing.
So very into dogs, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Love dogs, but love God more and love people. And so how can you combine all of those passions into one? And Canines for Christ answered all of those for us.
The three dogs that you had before Molly came along, do you still have them? Are they...
Yes.
You still have the four dogs.
We have five dogs.
Oh, you've added to your family.
We've added, yes. And Rocco, our fifth dog, is a therapy dog as well. He just did not come with us. Okay. And he has a story. He's a rescue as well. Pulled him out of a backyard infested with fleas and ticks. Saw great potential in him. Never thought I'd own five dogs in my entire life. But, you know, God has a sense of humor, and here we are. So.
Yeah. Well, I've got to ask this. Is one, I would say, breed better for therapy than others, or you never know what they're going to come from? They may be a mixed breed, or is it?
Right.
I just wondered, that's the kind of, you know, most of us have favorite kinds of dogs.
And right.
We wonder, hey, is my dog a candidate for that?
Right. So all of ours are rescues, so all of ours are mixes. But traditionally, I guess you would say golden retrievers, the labs, doodles are pretty big now into the therapy, the golden doodles and those kind of things. But we don't have any breed specification. If God is calling that handler and that dog to this ministry and they're equipped for that, then we want them to be a part of what we're doing.
Wow. I just want to thank you. I wish Molly could answer my questions, but we're going to let you just do that.
All right.
I asked if she could bark on command, and Devin said no, but she's silent on command.
Yes.
She's been here the whole time and not made any of those noises that sometimes we hear on my other program that I'm a part of on Exploring the Word. But here she's been so well-mannered.
Well, thank you.
And those of you that are wondering, should that be your grieving, you're hurting a child that is having difficulty. I've heard of the horse therapy that is able to do that. And it seems like the rescue dogs, they may have a heart for rescuing people.
Amen. Yeah.
That sounds like the story that I'm hearing from
right.
you. And you may want to be a part of this ministry, Canines for Christ. And that's canine, spell that out, the number four, Christ.
Yep.
And that'll get you there, get you started to say, hey, that's something I can do. And we're so excited about it. Glad you were able to come and make this interview possible, Jill.
Yes, thank you, Bert, for having us.
You've been listening to Jill Powell, Canines for Christ, her dog Molly by her side. And we say thank you for listening to Exploring Missions, and we pray that God would raise you up. It may not be Canines for Christ, but it may be something unusual, interest that you have that God has in store for you. So be alert, just the way Jill was, and say, Lord, how can you combine my love for dogs and my love for you? He did a wonderful job. I think you'll do a wonderful job for you who are listening. So thank you for listening to Exploring Missions here on AFR.